It's Susie from Murph, and I'm sitting here with Jake E. from Syra. How are you?
I'm fine. My stress level starts to come down to normal. They're still not there, but getting there. We had a terrible day. We lost some luggage on the flight over here, and we had some technical issues with the first day of the show, you know, connecting everything into, like, the Sabaton and Creators gear, and I think we sounded, what was it, guys, 5 minutes?
Yeah, we spent like 2 hours setting up, and then a 5 minute sound check, and it was perfect.
Yeah, and then while we were playing, our in-ears caught disturbance, and as we play 30 minutes, we cannot really do anything about it, so it was just, we just had to smile and pretend that it was raining, and...
Yeah, it actually came off fine from the outside.
Yeah,
it was actually fine. You know, one of the things I always do is walk through the crowd ahead of time to see who they're coming to see and things like that. Then I walk back out, and most people were here to see Sabaton or Creator.
Yeah, of course.
But when I walked back out, I could just constantly hear a hum of, they were so good, they were so amazing.
Oh,
so
that's nice. That's nice. Yeah, we were talking about that before, that I think that we won some fans over, absolutely.
I definitely think you did. So I saw the announcement Peter couldn't make it on this trip, and without physically seeing him there, I couldn't tell. So did you do a significant amount of work, like in programming, or?
No. We just put his bass on backing tracks. We call him Mr. Asus now. Is with us instead. Now it's of course never fun when a member can't do a show, but. As me and Jesper have always been saying that you know, like, this is something that has to go forward. We cannot be stopped by having someone not joining it. So it would be one thing if Jesper would be sick or something. You know, we could never play without Jesper, and it would probably be hard to replace me. If they don't want to do it, like, on backing tracks, I would, you know, consider that being a cool thing. But. We wanted to do this tour so badly, and Peter could unfortunately not do it, and it would have been the greatest thing to have him here, but this was the solution that we came up for. We could also, of course, had a replacer for Peter, but we didn't want to do that either, so... And today it was actually really good, because the stage was really small, so
I don't know
how we would have fitted there.
I don't know how either. I was lucky enough to see Peter on the very last show he did, and I took the last shot of him as he walked off stage, and then spent some time with him after, so that was really nice to see. The addition of Peter, did it change any of the dynamics in the band?
Like, what do you mean?
Just because Jesper and Peter had played together for so long, did it change any of the dynamics?
No. Not like... I think everyone already knows that, but this is mine and Jesper's creation, and the dynamics in the whole thing is that this is a band that is built out of friendship, but in the back of everything, it's mine and Jesper's vision that we all work on together. So
I think the brotherhood is apparent when you guys are on stage, the way you interact with each other.
Absolutely. We were saying that before. We have never, none of us have ever played. What?
I saw.
You have to what?
I saw.
Yeah, you got a kiss on stage. Yeah, exactly. But none of us have ever played. Never played in a band. There is so much love, and we know that we could always rely on. Like, if someone feeling down or having problems or whatever, we know that there's always someone to talk to and someone that, you know, like, will give a shoulder or a helping hand. So that's fantastic.
I know that you guys said that you would handpick the tours that you were on. What made the Sabaton Creators show right?
Because first of all, both Sabaton and Creator are amazing bands. Sabaton has been great friends of mine for a couple of years. They've always treated me with the best respect, and they're close friends of mine. I used to be their pyrotechnician back in the day, and so was actually, I think it was Jesper that actually saw that they hosted the tour, and he was like, yeah, well, this tour should be great. So I called up Per and said that, hey dude, can you please help us out here? If you like the album, you know, like, can we come along? And he was like, yeah, of course, yeah, yeah, we never thought about that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so, and this is absolutely right, because I think our music is Americanized enough to work good for the American audience. And this tour is great because Sabaton plays now in front of like 1,000, 1,500, 2,000 people per show. And I am so happy for Sabaton, because they've been, you know, in Europe, they're gigantic. Over here, they're starting to like become something really big as well. But we're all happy for them, because they've been, there's no other band in this business that's been fighting so hard to reach where they are today. So in Sweden we have this thing called the Jantelag, where you always like kind of look down on people that are successful, and you could never really think you could never really, you know, give a hand on the shoulder to someone that you know, like, done something good. Instead you're like envious of those persons or bands or whatever. But like, that's also a good thing in Syra. We, you know, like, just if there's another band that goes well, you know, like, we're the first one to, great job, because it's, they've been fighting hard. So and we all know the bands. Like when we recorded the album in New York, Sabaton came up, where they were playing in New York, so they came up to the studio and said hi, and you know, like, there's this bond of friendship. And like, today when I had my birthday, Tommy, the guitar player, comes in and he actually bought me gifts. So you know, like, just a thing like that means a lot.
The vocals that you do are quite amazing, the ranges that you hit. Do you see that continuing through Syra? You don't see doing dirty vocals or anything like that?
Dirty vocal, like harsh vocals? Yeah. No, never, ever. Never ever. I sing. I have my way of singing, and that's the way I can continue with. One thing I realize now, though, when I'm the only singer, as I'm used to be part of like more singers in a band, I realize that I for the next album, I need to have like some places where I could actually catch a breath, because it's hard as hell to sing those songs. I've never pushed myself. Me and Jesper, when we wrote the album, we pushed ourselves to the limit to do it the way we want to, but I realized that I pushed myself to like 99%. Like, making those things on the album was hard. Recreating them live is even harder.
I was gonna ask you, is there any song on the album that will be very, very difficult to do live?
Heart Rage is a really difficult song, because I have no time to breathe. Holding Your Breath is also like one of the songs that is like crouch killer.
In my review, I wrote that if you don't understand the song from your lyrics, Jesper brings it through with his solos or melodies.
Yeah.
Do you guys have that conversation and be like, this song is going to be about sadness? Does he write
it? No. The whole album is about like the depressive state of you know, what you could go through as a human being. Like, Jesper is, for example, an open alcoholic, and it's been, it's almost 2 years now, Jesper, right?
No, 14 months.
Yeah, 14 months now. And I've had big problems with like anxiety, death anxiety, and family problems due to my half of my life. So Jesper actually took pieces of paper, wrote down sentences like how he felt, and what I did, I took all these words and put my feelings on top of them and tried to understand what Jesper was trying to tell. And we were having like more or less sessions together with each other, like we were each other's psychiatrists. You know, we decided pretty early on that it's going to be a very personal album.
Yeah, that's very clear.
Yeah.
Did you have a conversation about, is it too vulnerable or is it too personal?
No. That's the cool thing. We just let everything go, because that's a cool thing when you're a new band. You don't have to listen to anyone other than yourself. I mean, now when we release our second album or third album, music-wise, of course, you need to keep yourself within the boundaries of your own music style, because all of a sudden you have fans that looks up to you and they want you to play a certain style of music. But when you release your first album, you could just tell everyone to go fuck themselves, because not in a bad way, but for yourself. Because like as a creative person, it's always so hard. Like when I was in Amaranth, for example, writing a song, I could never go out the box, because you knew exactly what the fans were expecting. So you needed those elements to always be inside of the music, otherwise they would tell. And you, like, the last Amaranth album, I was not writing much of the material on those, and they went a little bit far out of the box. You could expand the edges, but you cannot just create a new box somewhere else, because then you change the name.
That makes a lot of sense, because it seems like you stray too far from the path that you're traveling. You stray, say the same like AC/DC or Slayer or something.
Exactly.
Do you feel like you have within Syra, you're able to say everything you want to say? Like, I guess you answered that by saying really no limits. For the second album, same direction. I mean, I assume you guys are in a much better place and much happier and
but it's gonna be the same direction, but like with new songs, I guess. Yeah.
And you have started on the second.
Me and Jesper has been starting to write some stuff. We have some demos, but
we're just in the the beginning. Now we're touring and we're promoting this album, so we don't know. We're not stressing anything out.
I wrote 35 questions. I'm not gonna ask them all to you. I'm gonna kill it at 10. Guys are tired.
No. Continue. I will say stop. I will say stop when it's enough.
I haven't been exposed to a band that has affected me like you guys have. So
that's really amazing.
Yeah, musically and lyrically. So it seriously was the soundtrack to my life. So it was really, really great.
Thank you. Which is an album that Jesper already wrote, right?
He knew the future. That's awesome. Well, I'm going to ask, it's a question about Jesper, so let me ask you anyway.
You can ask Jesper. He's here.
I've been a fan of yours for quite a long time, and you can play emotion that you can hear. So I can take a song of something that you've done and be able to play it to somebody, and they can actually understand or hear what I'm feeling. Is there any emotion you can't play or that you can't translate on the guitar? On a solo or let's say a solo, you can translate anger or loneliness or despair or love or things like that. Is there any emotion you think you couldn't portray on the guitar?
Can I feel it?
I don't think I think like that when I play. I just play.
Just a feeling.
I think my tone is quite
unique.
Yeah, I can say that.
Yeah, but I can say that because
it's a quite sad feeling in the tone I have.
Melancholic. The cool thing with Jesper's playing is that there's hundreds of thousands of guitar players, and with various differences in like technique and quality and whatever, I don't say that any one of those that I'm counting up is better or worse than the other, but you have, for example, Slash, you have Yngwie Malmsteen, you have, what's his name in AC/DC?
Angus Young,
and you have Jesper.
Wow.
But if you just hear someone play just the guitar, you could nail like this must be Jesper, and that's unique, because like you have your own way of playing, like
that's very nice, your own phrasing.
Yeah,
some of them don't have as much feeling. Like if you look at somebody like Michael Schenker, or I mean Yngwie is technically very good.
No, or actually Rudy Pell.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you hear that it's him that plays as well, but that's because it sucks.
Jesper, like Michael Schenker, things like that have feeling. To me, that's what it's all about. I mean, you can be technical, which is great, but feeling is something that I don't think you could learn. I think it's something that you're born with.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can't play. I'm a rhythm guitar player. I can't play fast, like, but but I can write few songs, I think. This is not for me to judge if we do, but I think so. And that's more important than being technically good. I mean, there's so many guitar... I played with guitar players that is so into playing fast, they cannot be, they cannot play a song.
Exactly.
They can just play it with themselves, but with the guitar.
And from a band perspective too, you don't get it. I mean, it's something that
I
you
mean,
don't...
play with themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I read an interview where you said that this doing this is 5%, you know, playing live, and 95% is so much work. Why do you do this?
Yeah.
We
got it from her.
Oh, no way. Thank you so much.
And I'm so sorry.
Too much, though.
The voodoo dolls are supposed to have a heart stabbed, husband in the heart, and then they stuck it in their penis. I'm so sorry.
No, but, I actually answer, I actually ask myself the question sometimes. Hey, Jesper, she's referred to an interview I did once where I said that 5% is playing live and 95% is the work behind the music and the reason why we do it.
Why do you do it?
Like a day like today, I don't really understand why we're doing it, because like today it was like, what the fuck have I done? You know, a little bit like that. But
we didn't notice that. We were so happy with it.
Yeah, but 99% of the time while you're out playing, the audience gives you back so much.
Well,
you know, like you're standing in front of a crowd, and the cool thing with music is that, you know, sometimes you have to pinch your arm and realize that the things that you created actually changed people's life. You know, like the times where you get emails saying that I was sitting in my car, there was actually a guy sending us a message saying that I was sitting in my car, I was just about to kill myself, and I put your album on, and I realized that, you know, this was, you know, changing my perspective on things that I still want to live there. I could still fight this. And, you know, like, that music is so big.
That's so rewarding. It's the same with me as an open, I don't, I'm an alcoholic, a sober alcoholic. And I know that I change people for the better because I get nails. That if you can, I will try it out to quit drinking. And
if you could do it, I want to try it too.
And I say, that's so great to hear. And I go out of my way and I write.
You tell yourself like, no, I should probably just stay home, and then you realize that, you know, I would probably upset my kid for leaving, but actually she doesn't care at all, because like she's so used to it, she knows all about it. But if I don't go, I will probably upset thousands of people, not like a tour like this, because it's not our tour, but you could upset thousands of people that the show that they, you know, put money away to you know, be able to buy the ticket for is canceled. And it's weird, but that's the reason, at least, why we're doing this. Because we love it.
So, in comparison to the bands, obviously, that you and Jesper were in previously, do you find that to be a compliment or a curse?
I mean, I was the main factor in my other band. Like, I was the machine that, or like the engine that kept it running for all these years, and also creating it, like, to where we're gonna be. And I would never be half of what I am today, like, when it comes to success or whatever, and experience and so on, if I wouldn't have been in that band. So I have everything to thank for it, but I would never be able to do it for another thing.
It has been my pleasure. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
No, thank you. Pleasure having you.